Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. As the children are going to be dismissed for their music program. Philippians chapter 4. And I want to begin reading there in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, or your, again, gentleness, your considerate spirit, a reasonable person, let your gentle and considerate spirit be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to share your word. Now, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening. Give us what we need from your word. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for what you do. I pray, Lord, that you could use this in someone's life, an individual's life who is struggling with anxiety or depression, anxious spirit. And Lord, we know there's much of that in our world today. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts this evening or this afternoon in Christ's holy name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever bit your lip or your tongue. Well, I bit the back of my tongue day or so ago. And anyhow, it has given me fits, and it is very painful. So anyhow, Miss Glenda, I think she picked up on it. She asked me, are you okay? Well, yeah, I bit my tongue, and that's why I may sound a little funny. Anxiety, fear, and worry have become a way of life for many believers. Yet we boast about the peace of God and the joy of the Lord to a lost world. Peace is resting in the Lord. Joy is being happy in the Lord. And many Christians, they spend a lifetime in search of peace and joy, because we've been taught that worry and fear is the opposite of peace and joy. But in reality, the opposite of worry and fear is thanksgiving and trust living. I'll say it again. The opposite of worry and fear is thanksgiving and trust living. That's the opposite thing of joy and fear and despair. You know, we often preach peace. We preach about joy, the joy of the Lord. But something I've come to realize, we seldom explain how to get there. But this afternoon, I want you to see in our text, the Apostle Paul gives the formula. He gives the formula. He's cracked the code. This is it. And it works. He found it. And the Bible gives many references about worry and fear, anxiety and depression as well. In fact, the Bible commands us to fear not. We've all read those verses. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, take no thought for certain things. Our passage this afternoon is one of those commands. He tells us to be careful are to be anxious for nothing. Forget about it. But let's face it, that's easier said than done for most of us. Dealing with worry can be a real problem for many people. And it can be very difficult because it seems so normal to us. It seems like it's a normal part of life to worry and worry and worry. Seems responsible, but we're not supposed to worry. And we may even pass it off as having a spirit of excellence. And I believe in having a spirit of excellence. But at the same time, God doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to drive things in the ground. He doesn't want us to be so caught up in those things that that's all we spend our life doing. Then on the far extreme, some have accepted this as a way of life. As if to say, there's just no hope. This is how it is. This is how it's going to be. I just got to learn to deal with it. But don't forget, some of the greatest minds in history had the same battle. Listed some to you this morning. And we might dismiss this anxiety and depression or the fear factor and the worry. We may dismiss that as a personality trait. But the truth is, we can't. It's not a matter of saying, well, you know, I got that from my mom or my grandmother or my dad. And, you know, it's just something I inherited. My whole family's that way. Well, and we try that, but it's not a personality trait. It's not the fact that it runs in the family. It has nothing to do with those things. Sure, we can see different characteristics of people's parents within their life. I can see characteristics of Miss Freeman and Terry, more and more, I should add. It's a great mother-in-law back here. Love her dearly. I see a lot of her, and Tammy, you may would agree with this. I think of all their sisters that she probably reminds me the most of your mother. Am I right? Yeah, y'all. Anyhow. But yeah, she's a lot like her mother. And I can see that. We all have those characteristics and personality traits, you know, like parents and so forth. But we didn't inherit this from our parents. This is not a personality trait to worry. It's a sin to worry. It's not a personality trait. And so we have to come to the point where we can call it what it is and be willing to trust God and focus on God with a thanksgiving spirit and trust living. That's what it comes down to. Anxiety is very destructive. In fact, both English words, worry and anxiety, come from the Anglo-Saxon term, which means to strangle. And it does strangle so many things in our life, if we allow it to. It kills peace. It kills joy. It kills rest. It kills the quietness of the soul. The mind of an anxious person is never freed up. They're always busy in their mind. They live in their head. They're always in their mind, there's loose ends to tie up. They've got to deal with these things. Got to think it through. Got to keep going through it over and over. They got to tie up these loose ends, and they got to have something to worry about. And you know, many times we can't find rest until we feel in our hearts and minds that we have adequately worried about something, right? And then in the extreme case of anxiety, some people struggle with even going out into public. Some people really battle that. To just even go into a Walmart, you know, they really have a hard time with that. I shared with you earlier, this past week, I spoke to four different people who are dealing with this in a really difficult way. And it's real. It's real. There's some people have anxiety so bad they can't drive a car. There's just too many particulars there. Some people, they're constantly worried about the weather. You know, they live in fear of the weather. And there's no doubt, living on a fallen planet, many things can and will go wrong. It's going to happen. And again, worry is a besetting sin, and it'll compromise our joy. So don't allow for the compromise of spirit-produced joy in your life. Don't allow for that. That's where we have to take a stand and not allow for the devil to rob us of that joy that only God can give us. And so I've entitled the message, Anxiety, a Real Killjoy. Anxiety, a Real Killjoy. And the sad part, anxious people rarely enjoy life. There are just too many uncertainties. Quite often, anxious people will isolate themselves and they become very uncomfortable around other people. And worry destroys concentration in our quiet time. And it then becomes a dominant part of our study, where we're just worrying instead of studying God's word like we should be. Because the anxious person, again, they always have loose ends to tie up. There's always things that need to be done in their mind. Anxiety fuels anger, depression, health problems. We're told by doctors that it causes high blood pressure, heart palpitations, gastrointestinal problems. It's the root cause of eating disorders. It prevents us from sleeping at night, and it can prolong a general illness like a cold and make it last much longer. Anxiety and worry kill relationships with people, because relationships are built on trust. Relationships are built on trust. And many times, people with anxiety, they can't trust other people. They're not trusting. And it's evident that nothing will jeopardize our joy like anxiety and worry. And here in our text, the Apostle Paul cracked the code. He gives the remedy. He gives the formula. And it works. And there's three things I want to share with you, but there's more to the formula part of it. But let's go to back to our text there in Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to notice the first part here. We have to pray right. How do we pray right? We pray thankfully. Notice back here in our text. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, here it is, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So when we come to that word supplication, it's the gentle entreatment to God. It is that humble prayer before the Lord, as we seek his will. And we're praying. So there's the first part of the formula. Pray. But not just any prayer. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Be thankful. Be thankful for what God has done. And he has a purpose for sharing this with us. To pray thankful. Because when you're busy praying thankfully, and with thanksgiving, it's hard to worry about all the uncertainties. Because look at what you do have, and look at what God has done for you. Paul was an ingenious teacher. He lays this out amazing. For us to know and practice the formula ourselves, it's amazing. And you'll notice in verse 7 he said, and the peace of God. Did you get that part? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this is the part I preached wrong. Why do people love it when a preacher messes up? All y'all looked up at that same time. It's not necessarily wrong, but I think I was missing the greater point here. He said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, think about it. And here's how I have preached this for years. The greatest thing that any believer wants is what? We want the peace of God. What's greater than the peace of God? But there is something greater. And we'll see it in a moment. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to give us the rest of the formula. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, are lovely. And he's going to give us those things, and each one has a specific meaning, and we need to go back, and anytime we study Scripture, we should always interpret Scripture with Scripture. And I think the best way we can look at this is, what's the highest level of attainment for these verses? What's the highest level? Well, the highest level is to compare them to our God and our Savior, to get the most out of it. And so we see, first part of the formula, you pray right. How do you pray? We pray thankfully. Pray thankfully. And it's important because our prayer life reveals where our hope lies. A worrier is thinking to themselves about problems because he is his own hope. He is the answer to his problem. His mind is his solution. He's going to work it out. He's got the answer. I can fix this. If I could just get a handle on this, then I could be at rest. I got to go through this one more time in my mind. He's looking to himself. And the Apostle Paul said, don't look to yourself. Don't look to yourself. Look to God. Letting your requests be made known unto who? God. So, we pray right. We pray thankfully. And you know, our prayer list, for many people who have that anxiety and worry, their prayer list just becomes a worry list. You know what you're doing? We do. I've done it. You've done it. We sit there and we just go over all of our worries. You know, I've got this, this, and this, Lord. And then we're not really praying. We're not really communicating with God. And it becomes somewhat of a narcissistic prayer life. Let's just go over it one more time, Lord. And it really shows a lack of trust in our God. And we just... You know, we take it and we give it to God and then we take it back. We take it and give it to Him and we bring it back. And the truth is, anxious people don't trust God like they should, because they don't know God like they should. Therefore, they find it hard to claim the promises of God, because they don't know God, they don't know His character. The idea of praying thankfully and sharing our request with God is the context. That's the entire context of this epistle. And Paul is in the Roman prison there as he's writing this letter to Philippi. And we cannot pray right unless we are first praying thankfully. And that's why I said back in chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish what he started in us. In other words, Paul had confidence that God was at work. He knew God was at work. He was not going to trust himself. He had not given up. He was trusting God, not himself. And you know, we all know this. We will lead ourselves astray. And then he said in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now, God's at work in us. Paul knew that. We got to trust it. Philippians 4:13, he goes on to say, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Then he goes on to say in verse 19 of chapter 4, he goes on to say, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We've got to be willing to trust him. Remember, it's about thanksgiving and trust living. We have to trust him for what he said he's going to do. If not, we're going to find ourselves in a mess. And we're going to be wringing our hands, trying to find a solution. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I wonder. I wish. I hope. Oh, I hate that. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And they never give up on it. It just goes and goes and goes, you know. And you find yourself in that boat to where if that's the sentiment of a person's conversation, then there's not a lot of thanksgiving there. Paul's advantage was very simple. He knew some things about his God. He knew some things about God that made it possible for him to trust God. If Jesus Christ is our hope and we know his promises, we too can accomplish verse 4, and we can rejoice always in the Lord. Listen, we don't have the solution. We don't have the solution. You don't have the solution. I don't have the solution. God does. So we have to trust God. We don't have it. And we oftentimes in our mind try to come up with that, but it's not there. Our hope cannot rest in us coming up with a solution in our head that is going to outwork God, because it'll never happen. If our hope is ourselves, we worry. We're anxious. If our hope is Jesus Christ, then we pray and we trust. And Paul never preached what he didn't practice. Notice his personal goal in chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." That was his goal. Whatever he went through was fine as long as it could help promote the gospel of Christ. That was his goal. Yes, he was. He saw these things happen in all the trials he went through. Sure he did. He lived it. He said, "But I'm thankful. I am thankful to be spreading the gospel even in a prison." And then Philippians 1, down there in verse 20, "Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He goes on in chapter 3 and says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but dung, but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." You think about that. Paul was a very prominent man before he was saved. He was the lead terrorist in their Jewish circles. And well-schooled in the Jewish faith at the feet of Gamaliel. And I can assure you, he was probably a very wealthy man. And he gave up a lot when he followed Jesus. But it was all worth it to him. Not only in the end, but even right then it was worth it. He saw that. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." He was determined, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, "I'm not telling you I'm a know-it-all. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. But I'm not going to go back there. I'm going to keep moving forward for Christ." And keep in mind, he did pray for other things. He prayed for daily provisions. He prayed for the healing of Epaphroditus. He prayed for the church as a whole. He prayed for unity in the church. And it's okay to pray for these things. It's okay to pray for other things. By prayer, supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. But even when these requests are not answered according to our like, according to the way we would have liked to have seen them answered, we can be thankful because God knows best. We can still be thankful. And what a tragedy if God were to answer all of our requests throughout life and yet never conform us to the image of his son Christ. That's how we're conformed. What a shame that would be. To go all the way through life and boy, we had every request answered just like we wanted it. But we would never be conformed to Christ's image because that's how he does it. And one of the reasons we don't pray with thanksgiving is because we are too busy with complaint living. Complaining will surely send you into a spiral of anxiety. Don't be a complainer. Don't be a complainer. And some people live their lives that way. That's who they are, and they're constantly complaining. But the reason they're doing that is because they're not being thankful as they've been instructed here by the Apostle Paul. Whether it's complaining to ourselves, complaining to others. And by the way, complaining is a great fertilizer for anxiety and depression. Then we quickly find ourselves in a state of being discontent. And discontentment says, "I know what I really need, and here's why it's not happening." And this leads us to the if-only thinking. Well, if only I had a better job, if only I had a better house, if only I had a better husband, if only I had a better wife, if only I had better friends or better girlfriend, better boyfriend, if only, if only, if only, if only, if only. And if you're an anxious person, you probably already have a list of if-onlys in your life. Many times, anxious people live by the if-only list. If only this was fixed, if only this was taken care of. If only we could get to this place. If only we had a new house. Yet Paul said, all we need is the Father to be satisfied. You know, and I've shared this part with you before. That's how newlyweds are. Newlyweds, if you think about it, most newlyweds, they don't care where they live, even if it's a shack, because they've got each other. They don't care if they have to eat sandwiches every night because they've got each other. They don't care if they have furniture. So what? We're married. We've got each other. And I know from our day and time, I think just about everybody, we would start off with the hand-me-down furniture or maybe an old couch from your grandmother or a card table for your supper table, whatever. You know, we've all been there. Most of you have. And it's okay, though. When Terry and I were first married, we had a card table for kitchen table until we could save up, and we bought a kitchen table up in North Carolina. But you know what? When you step back and look at that idea, we don't need furniture. We don't need a nice big house. We're married. And I remember when we first got married, you know, I can remember, every now and then I look at my finger, and I don't wear my ring now because my finger's too fat, okay? But anyhow, I would look down there and I think, wow, I can't believe I am married. I can't believe this. She married the best looking man in the world. Can you believe it? Actually, I married the most beautiful lady in the world. Yeah. And you know what? There's something really extraordinarily right about that mentality. It's okay. If we have a card table, we have each other. It's okay if we have an old couch, we have a few holes in it, we've got each other. We're married. It's okay. And you know, we need to come back to that way of thinking when it comes to our relationship with God and stop worrying about all of these things that one day will burn up anyhow. Paul's lack of anxiety was his knowledge of God. Our anxiety would be solved if we just knew God better and realized he's all we need. He's all we need to be truly satisfied. And then notice the results of verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see the result here? Do you see the payoff? The peace of God. Isn't that great? I want God. I do. I want the peace of God. How about you? Do you want the peace of God? We all want the peace of God. We want the peace of God in our lives. Especially in this day and time with everything we see happening. We want the peace of God in our lives. We need the peace of God. So first, Paul tells us, pray right. How do you pray right? You pray thankfully. And secondly, he tells us to think right. But how do you think right? You think scripturally. Verse 8, notice. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if you're going to be an upright person at any given time, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and you're going to be able to live uprightly and praise the Lord in your life, then think on these things. Think on these things. Think right. How do you think right? You think scripturally. Now listen, we don't eat out of trash cans because we're selective about what we put in our mouths and what we eat, right? We wouldn't go around eating out of a trash can. And we should be just as selective about our thinking. And not to fill our thoughts with the thoughts of the world and the garbage of the world. In verse 8, Paul gives us an entire list here. This is the formula. This is the code. He's cracked the code. This is it. Paul gives us the entire list right here. Here's what you do. And when you do these things, as a result, you'll have that peace of God which passeth all understanding. We need to practice this list. But for time's sake, I'm just going to focus on that first one. He tells us, beginning in verse 8, he said, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. Go back there to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. What is true? What is true? What is truth? God's word is truth. God's word is truth. So he tells us to what? Whatsoever things are true. He's going to tell us at the end to think on those things that are true. Well, God's word is true. So we think on God's word. And listen, if we're going to think on God's word, then we're going to have to know God's word. And if we're going to know God's word, we have to study God's word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Word of truth. So we have to study the word. We have to know it if we're going to think it and meditate on those things that he's telling us to do. We have to know God's word. We have to get it in us. We have to memorize it. Thy word hath I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And so we have to work on knowing God's word if we're going to think on God's word. That's truth. That is truth. Whatsoever things are true. You know, people with anxiety have trouble thinking about truth. Remember, most people with anxiety, they have the if-only syndrome. You know, if only this was fixed, if only we had this, if only he would do this. You know, we live in that mode because we don't know our God. And when we know our God, we stop the if-onlys and we stop all the complaining. And why are we able to stop? Because we're thankful. And when we're thankful, why did he tell us to be thankful here? You know, we're talking about anxiety and people with issues here. Well, because, again, when we're thankful, we're not caught up on the if-onlys. We're too thankful. God's been too good to us. I don't have time. I shouldn't do that. I need to just be thankful and move on. People with anxiety, they constantly live with that if-only syndrome. And they meditate on the possibilities instead of the certainties. But understand this, God's word is always certain. And that's what we have to build our lives on. His word. His word is truth. But if we're going to get rid of anxiety, depression, that worry, it truly does start with a thankful spirit. We need to think on the things that are true. God's word is true. We need to study God's word. And how do we study God's word? He tells us in that verse, by rightly dividing the word of God. That means this, that we are contextually studying God's word in the context in which God gave it to us. And as long as we do that, we're going to be okay. But we need to be really careful that we don't study it out of context, or we're going to misappropriate where it belongs and how to use it. So we have to be careful. And if we're not rightly dividing the word of truth, then we're wrongly dividing the word of truth. And then we have no truth. So that's important. But then also notice, as we're coming to a close, we need to spend time memorizing God's word. It's so important. I would encourage you to get a memory verse partner. Memorize scripture. So important. Hey, listen. We cannot think on truth, scripture, if we don't have it hid in our hearts. You got to put it there. You got to take the time to put it there. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And you know what? This way of thinking is foreign to a lot of believers. Listen, stop trying to fix your own issues. Stop trying to fix your marriage on your own. Stop trying to fix things within your own mind. I've done that. Hey, listen. No marriage is perfect. Terry and I have had marriage issues before, sure. Everybody does. But we have to decide that we are going to focus on God. And when we focus on God and the problem and not each other, and we are thankful, we're going to get through that. But if we're busy pointing fingers and so forth, it's never going to happen. Not going to work. Not going to work. So first, we pray right. We pray thankfully. Number two, we think right. We think scripturally. And then he goes on to say there, you notice in verse 9, I'm going to share these two. I'm not going to be able to finish the rest of this, but I'll come back to some of it next week. Then he tells us, thirdly, you do right. Pray right, think right, do right. Pray right, think right, do right. You do right. And how are we to do right? Well, you practice faithfully the whole list of things he just gave you and me. We pray with thanksgiving. And he said, whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, just, good report, lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on those things. And as a result of that, we will experience the very peace of God in our lives. It's a great payoff. What more could you want than the peace of God in your life? And notice that's exactly what he said. You go back there in Philippians 4, if you would please, and you notice right there in verse 7, Philippians 4 and verse 7, I want you to see this, because this here is the main part. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Can you read the first part of verse 7 with me, please? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What more could we want? The peace of God. The very peace of God. But there is something better than the peace of God. You say, well, what could that possibly be? Believe me, there is. There's something better than the peace of God. Notice there in verse 9, he tells us after he goes through that whole list of things, he said, those things of which you saw and learned in me, in other words, he's sharing his experiences there. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now get the next part. Can you read that next part with me? And say it. The God of peace. Now, think about that. He goes from the peace of God that'll keep our hearts and minds. But now, as he's gone through the list, guess what happens at the end of the list? He's gone from having the peace of God to having the God of peace. And it's even better. The God of peace. And in other words, we have ushered in the very presence of God. We have brought God. When we go through this list, we trust God. You know what? He says, I'm going to bring out about the peace of God into your life. And it'll come front and center stage in your heart and your mind. But then it even gets better when we do these things and we practice faithfully, when we pray right, pray thankfully, when we think right, think scripturally, when we do right, do all of the above faithfully. When we do those things, you know what, it changes then, and it goes from the peace of God to ushering in the very God of peace on the center stage of your heart and mind. And he said, those things which you have both learned, or excuse me, go back to verse 8 just for a second. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things, I'm going to skip some here, are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. And notice there, then he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what does he say after that? Think on these things. That's our thinking. You want to stop having anxiety, we have to change our thinking. We have to change our way of thinking. And now he goes into thanking them for how they had taken care of him and helped him. But you know what? I'm sure that there were some very anxious moments there in the situation with Euodia and Syntyche and the church there. Still rather new, and no doubt they faced lots of persecution. And no doubt there were some anxious people there. But he's encouraging them, look, I have cracked the code here. God has shown me the formula. And here, you know, you've seen me do this. You've heard me teach this. And here's what it is. And if you'll do this, you'll not only have the peace of God, but you will also have the very God of peace. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. God, I pray that you would help us to practice this truth in our lives. Lord, help us to be faithful to practice these things, or it's not going to work. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your fairness. You're always so fair, merciful, and gracious. Lord, may we learn the concepts and principles of this passage. In Christ's holy name.